In 1986, when a strong intuitive hunch prompted Anne Bollinger McQuade to get a mammogram, she followed its guidance, only to discover she had breast cancer. Fortunately, the cancer was confined and considered minuscule, and Anne was completely healed. This prompted her to look deeper into what she calls personal oracles. I spoke with Anne about her journey into understanding the universal implications of knowing our personal oracles, and about her book, which delves beautifully into the language the universe speaks, and how we can learn to tune in to its messages. Anne, you have such a beautifully written book called Everyday Oracles. You've been attuned to these sorts of divine messages, it seems, for a long time. But I'd love to know, how did you come to make this a focus of your life's work?
Well, you know, it really started with a gut feeling about back in 86. And, you know, we all have gut feelings, and some of them we pay attention to, some of them we don't. Luckily, I paid attention to this gut feeling because it was saying, get a mammogram and get a mammogram now. And so I didn't rush, but in a few days I went and got a mammogram, and I had breast cancer. And it's a long process. Sometimes it was over the holidays, and they didn't, you know, tell me how big it, or maybe didn't know how large it was, how far along it was. So it was a really scary time, and I found myself confronted with my own mortality. It was like, you know, I thought I was more comfortable with death than I really was, and I was quiet about it, but I just had this fear that was burbling along about dying. And in that Christmas period that we were in, my husband and I were over at a mall, and a lot of times we were Christmas shopping in the last couple of days, and a lot of times I like to pop in and look at parrots into the pet shop, and something, just another gut feeling went, don't look at parrots, you know. So I walked into the pet shop, and as I walked through the door, I heard these words right outside my ear on the left side, and they were, you know, I'm going home with you, don't you? And I didn't register on it, but I really didn't. Well, I thought, who's talking? And I looked around, and there was nobody in that part of the store. So I did go up to the, I was kind of magnetically drawn to some golden retriever puppies. The family that was with us ran and got my husband and went, oh, come look at this puppy. And he came in and went, let me get him for you for Christmas. And I was so resistant, and I, you know, gave him a look. I tried to do everything to keep that puppy from going home with us, but we got separated through the fun of the stuff that was going on. And by the time I got back, he was buying the puppy. And what a beautiful piece of everything that was, because through the breast cancer treatments, which it was minuscule, for any of you that had cancer, look at this, or are diagnosed with cancer, 1986, and look, we're in 2013, and
I'm
healthy. So following my gut, that was huge right there. Rusty ended up being my spirit guide, and we were telepathic, but he didn't speak to me in words like that until he was 11. And when he was 11, he got cancer. And we had him treated for quite a while, and finally we had to let him go. And that night, I was laying in bed, you know, feeling really upset, thinking, what am I going to do? And that's when I heard the words, again, the second time, right outside my left ear, and he said, I'm still here.
Wow.
Then he said, I could come back if you want me to. And I vowed at that moment, silently in my mind, you show me, I show me how you can come back. And I didn't care how, or I mean, I would have taken any pet, I would have had another child. I mean, I knew I wanted that spirit back in my life. So this is a whole nother book. We won't talk about how, the process, but what happened was the world opened up to me, and the universe started to show me all these things. And through that, we did reconnect. He came back in another little puppy. But the world showed me how it responds to our needs.
Absolutely.
And I got to see this structure. Like, think about the stars, the structure of the stars in the galaxy, the structure of gravity, you know, when Newton realized that you drop it, it falls. This is the same thing with the way the universe is designed. The universe is designed to respond to our needs.
Yes.
So these things, I thought they were random. You know, we all get these messages all the time. Gut feelings, mysterious things that we see, they're not random.
They're not random.
No.
Yeah. I've always found this to be intriguing. We still don't understand the underpinnings, you know, mechanistically of how these things work, but I've always had a sense that there was a purpose to the universe and that we're connected to it. And so it's communicating with us all the time. So we've got so much of that that we want to get into, but I want to stick with some basics. That's an amazing story, Anne, that you told at the beginning. But I want to ask you, when people think of oracles, they often think of a person delivering a message from spirit, versus seeing oracles in certain things. Can you clarify that for us?
Oh, hey, thank you for asking that. Because oracles mean so many different things. You know, the oracle at Delphi. You know, what I've done is I've come up with a different term, and it is personal oracles. And I, you know, this is a term that I've coined, and I use it, and it's very specific, and it defines the formula. It's not a person. It is the words I use to describe how the universe operates. So it's a personal oracle. Is this, it's a need, the need that is going on in our lives. The universe then goes, oh, here's a need over here, let's send a delivery system. Mm-hmm. We send a delivery system with the message, we get the message. And here's my favorite way, because people may be going, huh, what? Okay, Rhonda was a neighbor of mine, actually, up in Angel Fire, New Mexico, and she was taking her little dogs for a walk one day, and as she's walking along with them on a leash, she has this hummingbird fly right in front of her eyes, and it stops, and it hovers right there. And instantly, Rhonda knew she was in danger. She just felt the danger. She ran up her spine as a sensation. She turned on her heels and headed back for home. And as she headed for home with her little dogs in tow, she heard... Again, right outside her head, she was hearing words like I did that time, danger, danger, danger. She rushed home. She opened the door. She got in, took her little dogs off the leash. She looked, and there was a message on her answer phone, and she listened to it, and it was from the neighbor across the road. And they said, you know, we just wanted to warn you, stay inside. We've got mad dogs in the neighborhood. They've killed some of our sheep, and they've killed our old dog.
Mm-hmm.
Now, see what was going, this is what I wanted to use this, so that we look at it this way. Okay, what was going on with Rhonda? She was in danger.
Right.
The universe went, oh, here, she's in danger. Let's send a messenger to her, and let's send a messenger that Rhonda will get. Some of us, I'm afraid I might have ducked under and just gotten out of its way. But Rhonda, this messenger was perfectly designed to, or chosen, I should say, to resonate with Rhonda. So the universe goes, okay, send the hummingbird. Hummingbird goes, okay, I'm the messenger, I go do it. And she gets the message, and that is the personal oracle. These things happen. Okay, there's an extreme one. Here's one, you're driving in traffic. You have a sense that the driver next to you is going to change lanes. If you drive, I bet you've had that experience.
Of course.
You sense that driver's going to change lanes. You pull back just a little bit in your car, they change lanes. We take that for granted. No big deal. What happened there is we got the sensation of what was going to happen, and we were protected from having an accident.
Mm-hmm.
So the interconnections that this personal oral speak to, the interconnections that run through us and everything in the universe. So we all can, this whole entire wonderful universe is so interconnected that it can just interact with us all the time.
Mm-hmm. You actually do talk about these sort of interconnecting threads that run throughout the entire system, both physical, non-physical, animate, inanimate, even in the meridians, the meridian system and the Chinese meridian system that's talked about. That's pretty fascinating. Yeah. Well, I want to talk about, we're going to talk about clouds, obviously, because I've always been what you call a cloud gazer. I'm definitely one of those people that sees patterns in not just clouds, Anne, but everything. I have been seeing images in patterns for years. And, you know, I recently learned that this is something that I think psychology refers to as pareidolia. Are you familiar with that term?
No, I'm not. I'm not familiar with that.
I looked it up because I thought there's got to be, first of all, I'm probably not the only one that's seeing Images, recognizable images and things. In fact, we hear stories every once in a while about the person that sees the image of the Virgin Mary and a piece of toast and all of a sudden it's on eBay or something. But, you know, and there's a little bit of a giggle factor associated with this, but I really started to think there's probably something significant going on here in terms of the brain or some other mechanism that's processing a familiar image to us. Would you call that a form of oracle? In other words, if I'm seeing patterns or someone's seeing patterns in something, is there a message behind it?
Well, I think that's the process. I think what you're describing, which is, I've read a little bit about what you're talking about too. Some of us, it comes so much easier than others. It's just like some people can speak other languages. I can't pick up another language for the life of me. Some of us can see patterns and shapes and things. That's part of the process. That's part of the wiring, I would say, as far as what I'm concerned. That's part of the wiring that helps make it easier for us to see a sign that somebody else might. Somebody else might not be able to pick up that image in the cloud or pick up that image that you are seeing or that somebody saw on the piece of toast that was the Virgin Mary. You know, it is a giggle factor, but trust me, this goes on so much with everybody all over the world, everywhere, that I take it, you know, I don't think it's an accident. You know, I think that spirit is showing itself in every form imaginable. So, yeah, I just think that what you're talking about, though, is part of the process, you know, part of the process that allows us to see these things easier than some people. And if we've got callers or people that are listening and they can't see patterns, don't worry about it. Yours will come through smells. They could come through radio. You know, be songs on radio that have significance.
Right.
You might have spirits that are going to connect with you through a cell phone. There's a story in the book from George and Luco. I won't go into it, but you know, he got a phone call on his cell from someone who had died, and multiple times. So, you know, it's our limiting mind that, you know, and I do it. We all do it. We all limit ourselves at different points. But when we can, every time we can open ourselves up to something that seems a little bit strange, we let more of this expansive,
there's no question
fabulous,
about
exciting
that.
Universe in.
That's right. There's no question about that. In fact, you mentioned the phone call on the cell phone from a person that was deceased. I've actually cited several in my writing, in my work, several what we call ADCs, after death communications, which I would agree is a form of oracle. And I'm actually working on finishing the print version of my book, Conscious Musings, in which I open up one of my chapters with a true account of a woman who told me very briefly about a conversation she was having with her sister on the phone. Their father had just passed away maybe days prior, and all of a sudden the phone went dead. And she heard a little bit of a static sound, and when the conversation resumed, it was not her sister, it was the father saying, "Lisa, is that you? I'm here, I'm here." And then he faded away. The conversation resumed with the sister, and you know, it was so funny as she's telling me this story. She was so incredibly passionate about it. But then, you know, what she said to me, she said, "I don't believe in that stuff anyway."
Okay.
So there seems to be this kind of denial about something that has been trying to get our attention for so long. And I agree, we need to start paying attention more and more.
Well, and you know, and just like we're doing today, Alex, what we do is we pay attention and then we start to talk to each other about it. The more we talk to each other about it, the less strange it seems, because, you know, and I'm going around, you know, talking to groups all the time, and I know you are too. And when you talk about it, people are just waiting to share those things with
you.
That's
right.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, that has something. Oh, and something along this line happened to me. And if we will just start to dialogue about it with the people, then we're going to all feel more comfortable and have more of these experiences. And like I am repeating myself, our world will expand into such a divine space.
There's no question about it. And don't you agree that there's something that's going on? I think there are few that would argue that although we don't know what this shift is, there is indeed a shift going on right now. Has been going on, probably will continue for some time. And my sense, and I also cover this in my book, is that perhaps the universe is getting a little impatient at us being so naive about these things. It's time to stop putting these things in the closet and bring them out and share. you know, fear of ridicule, whatever may be inhibiting us from talking about these things, I don't know that the planet's going to tolerate that much longer. Because I think, you know, we're all talking about evolution and ascension of spirit, and yet so many are still resistant to take that leap and start to incorporate these, what we call little anomalies in our life, when I think it's maybe beckoning us to do just that.
Well, I agree. And, you know, I'm not an astrologer, but I have a really good friend who is an astrologer. And she's talking to me a lot about Neptune. And, you know, she talks to me about all the things that are going along astrologically right now are set up to help us and support us with these changes that are going on. So one of the things that I would love for people to start considering, it's real easy to feel isolated and alone. That is such an illusion. We are not. I mean, we are part of, you know, the astrological setup that sometimes tweaks us. If you've been in a Mercury retrograde, you know what I've been in them, you know, if you're on the planet, you know, we react to all of that. There's a lot of help out there that, and I'm with you 100%. The universe is helping us right now. Say, come on, come on, we're opening the door.
Absolutely, yes. Absolutely. Well, you know, speaking of that, let's talk a little bit about the history of oracles. You do cover that a bit, and I believe in the front part of your book. You know, again, if it establishes a comfort level for people that are afraid to admit that they're having their own experiences, this was replete in our history, in ancient cultures. You use a term called, I don't know if I'm going to pronounce this right, either nephomancy or nephomancy. What is that?
Well, and I don't know how to... Neomancy, I think, is what it is. Neodrop is another term for cloud reading. You know, that's cloud reading is one of the most ancient forms of divination on the planet. And if you stop and think about it, back hundreds and then thousands of years ago, when we lived on the land and we were close to the land, what were we going to do? We were going to look at the sky. We were going to look at the plants that were around us. So, you know, we were talking about being cloud gazers a while ago. You know, if you're a cloud gazer, well, that is just really ancestral seeding, natural, because we all did that. And you learn over time, this means that and that means that. And you look over here and you see that happen. So, you know, it's something that when we do it for fun a lot of times now. Mm-hmm. You just step a little deeper, and there's portals that you can open up and go through. And so, yeah, it's a, when you're into the cloud reading, the Neodrat or the Neomancy, I'm not good at pronouncing it either. those are the oldest forms of divination.
Yeah.
And dreams are that you made me think of something that's, I guess it isn't the early part. I guess I just need to bring it up right now. The early Greeks, you know, the Greeks were, they went to astrologers before they would make decisions. They were big decisions, political decisions. They would, physicians, and here's another name that, you know, pronunciation is everything, and it depends on what culture, but there was the Greek philosopher that, now my mind is blocking it, but I think it's Galen. He was so into dreams. He wrote books on dreams. He would have a dream, and he was a well-known physician. He would have a dream, and he would operate based on the information he got in his dream. He would even base on the information in the patient's dream.
Mm-hmm.
Now, look at the wisdom there.
Yeah.
We've gotten so far away from that. A doctor now? Except, here's another story from the book about, I didn't realize we were heading this direction, but there was another story, I just kind of slammed doctors. I need to pull that back a little because of current doctors, you know, and they're adhering just to the scientific.
Mm-hmm.
There's a story in there about Dr. Alan Hamilton.
Love that story. Please tell it, Anne. It's great.
Oh, isn't it amazing?
Amazing. And please share it with the audience.
Yeah, an audience, write down the name of this book. He wrote The Scalpel and the Soul.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Alan Hamilton was driving, he's a neurosurgeon from Tucson, Arizona, and he was driving to the U of A Medical Center to perform brain surgery one morning. As he's driving in, he looks over and he sees this dead rabbit and buzzards feeding on the carcass, and continues, of course, to drive on, and goes in and gets all ready and you know, talks to his patient, and the patient is saying, you know, the wife is going to tell her husband goodbye, and as Dr. Hamilton is starting to go to the door, he sees the wife lean over, and she goes, "See you later, bunny."
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Alan Hamilton canceled the surgery.
Yeah.
And while he would have been in, that man would have been in surgery, the man had a massive heart attack. He lived, but he would not have lived if he'd been having brain surgery. Oh, my gosh. We do have doctors that get it. That get it's more than just, it is scientists, but it's the scientific and this beautiful other
aspect. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we talk about, you know, I believe really there was a time, maybe back in the 1600s or so, where science and spirit were converged. They were one and the same. I don't know what happened to back us off of the validity of these things. Science, there's absolutely a need for the science as we understand it, what we call Newtonian physics, etc. But the integration of the intuition, really it's the integration of the left and right brain, you know, is absolutely necessary. And thank goodness for people like Dr. Alan Hamilton. Thank goodness for people like Dr. Larry Dossey, whom I admire so much for his bravery in not leaving the medical profession. Obviously, I don't know whether he's an internist or what his specialty is in medicine, but revered in conventional medicine. But due to his own oracles, I would imagine, knew that there was something absolutely important going on, and he decided to go out in the circuit and talk about it. And that takes some bravery. But I truly hope that we can eventually get back to that integration. I think it's so, so necessary. Now, you say, Anne, that oracles are energy-driven miracles waiting for us to tune in and notice them. How, and this is a big question, how does somebody tune in to a personal oracle? And I know that's a loaded question, but I'd love for you to give us some suggestions.
I will. That's a multifaceted.
I know.
You know, we could talk for a week. But seriously, again, it starts with the gut. You know, what we all call a gut feeling. Do you know that your gut, place your hand, if you want to, right above your navel. You're mm-hmm. touching right above your stomach. That's what is really, you know, we call our gut feeling. That's your solar plexus. Do you know that your solar plexus is your second brain? You were talking about incorporating the right and left brain. Well, yes, for sure. The analytical and the intuitive. Then bring in this solar plexus brain mm-hmm. because that's where these senses come to us. So you get a gut feeling. It'll say, look over here. Do this. Don't do that. You'll get a smell.
That's right.
I have some smells in the book. I'm going to pull one out that came to me. There's a wonderful one in the book. I'll let you guys read it. It's a whole series, a smell that goes through a whole family that is one of my favorite stories. But I'd rather kind of right now bring in this one about a woman who was at one of my book signings recently, and she said that she always spent summers at her grandmother's, and her grandmother loved turquoise. And so she was painting something in her house turquoise recently, and she opened this can of paint. And as she opened the can of paint, which was the favorite color of her grandmother, that she had, just one of her favorite people on the earth, who was no longer alive, she opens it up and she smells summers at her grandmother's. And she said that the whole time she painted, she smelled that smell.
Isn't that something?
And, you know, these are the kind of things that the left brain man jumps in and goes, how? Well, we can get really wound up and caught in the how. But how could that be? Do we need to know that, or do we need to know it happened?
Yes.
And do we need to know that if we write that down when it happens to us, when something like that happens to us, we don't really need to dwell, I don't believe, in the exactly how it happens. What we need to know is that it will come to us when we need these things to come to us. And then if we write them down, you were asking, how can we tune into these things more? When you have a gut feeling that's spot on and you follow it and you go, oh, I knew that, and you write it down, you can write it in a journal or a notebook. But if you don't have that handy, write it on a piece of paper, just a scrap piece of paper, but the trick is put everything in one place. And then you start to go back to it, and you will blow your own mind. I mean, the times that we are right on with our intuition about something that is going to protect us, give us a message, answer a question, give us a sense of direction in our life. And again, don't limit your senses. Mm-hmm. Again, the smell, the sight, like you and I were saying, we see patterns. The radio, you know, all these different things. I think another key, and I'm looking back, it says in the book I've got 12 tips, but one of them, and one of the most important ones, is see yourself as a person who receives personal oracles all the time. When we program that positive, I can do it, you know, mm-hmm. Hey, I'm a personal oracle person, I get them, you know, I get it. Then also don't beat yourself up when you don't, but write it down. Like if you get a gut feeling that says, like I have, and this is an example in the book about the man who was carrying his sunglasses on one of those, like a case on a belt, and he had this, he thought it was a thought, and it said, you know, that's not very safe, and 5 minutes later they were gone. Write it down. We don't all get them all, you know. I would have missed taking Rusty home if my husband hadn't gotten him. So we're not going to, and don't be hard on yourself, you know, right. Go, well, got that one, didn't get that one, but now I see the system works.
Right. Well, it's funny, I was actually just talking to a dear friend the other day who's been having recurring dreams about whales, and we kind of sat, going through the process, analyzing what the significance of what I believe to be a personal oracle for her, what it could possibly mean. And so I came up with a couple of suggestions for her, and one of the things I said to her is, I think when you acknowledge, when you think you're getting a message of some sort, if you can acknowledge that, even verbally, saying, I heard you, or I gotcha. Oh. I actually told her, you know what I said to her, Anne? I said, here's what I want you to do. We live in New England, so we're surrounded by water, and, you know, we have whale watches going on all the time. I said, go on a whale watch. Go on a whale watch, and when you're on that boat, go to the edge of the boat where no one can see you so they won't think you're talking to yourself. And when you see a whale, point to it and say, I heard you. Just say,
brilliant.
I heard you.
I love that.
It just came to me. And she looked at me. She says, you know, that's something. I said, I have a feeling that by doing that, you are essentially acknowledging the universe. And therefore, the universe will be able to see you more clearly. And invariably, you'll have more of these things. So I think that there are things that we can do to acknowledge these messages during our waking state, if it's a dream, or in just some form of acknowledgement. Perhaps that's a way to start seeing more of them.
Oh, and you know, I had never thought of that. What I've thought about before, and it's kind of like it, but I love what you said too, gratitude. You know, when you're when something happens and you go, oh, thank you, even if it's just a little thank you, you can even say thank you to yourself, to the universe. You know, like, it doesn't have to be loud, whatever. Just that gratitude going out of you to the universe. I think that and that I see you, I hear you, I got it. We all want to be in an interactive situation. We want to be talking to a one-sided thing. So, that's brilliant. I love, thank you for that.
Well, you know, it just came to me. It wasn't something that I had researched. It just felt right. You know, acknowledgement in any case. Sometimes I may just say thank you to the universe when the sun is shining so bright. It just, because it just feels so good and it feels right. I don't know who has more stories, you or me. I have so many stories.
It's your turn. You go, because I think I've told a lot of
them. Oh, no, there's so many that there are a couple that I would love to have you share with the audience. But let me tell you, I'm looking at, I wrote a reminder to myself, tell the bird story. You want to talk about maybe an oracle within an oracle. Now, as you know, I've been reading your wonderful book and preparing for our interview. I've been looking forward to so much. 2 days ago, Anne, I'll tell you, I just before I had planned on sitting down to read a little bit more of your book, I was talking to a friend on the phone. Actually, it was my cousin. And I was sitting in our formal living room, which has this absolutely beautiful picture window. It's huge, overlooking our property, which is kind of wooded. I am talking to her when all of a sudden a bird comes flying out of nowhere, and guess what happened next? He slammed into the window. He slammed into the window right at the point, if there was no glass there, he would have hit my nose. He came right at me. And obviously I was so startled, I didn't know what to do. I thought for sure he had hit the ground and he was dead. It's a little bit of a long story, but needless to say, I was absolutely mortified. I'm a little bit of a scaredy cat. So I said to my husband, I can't look. I'm going to go to the other room, make believe this didn't happen. Can you please go outside and look on the patio to see if this poor bird is injured or worse, if he's dead? Well, lo and behold, my husband went outside eventually. He looked everywhere. He saw no bird, nothing.
Oh.
I said, you've got to be kidding me. This bird came so fast into the window. He had to. How could he have flown away? Now, here's the kicker. It wasn't until yesterday that my brain has been kind of tuned to oracles, especially in anticipation of our talk.
Right.
And I thought to myself, I wonder if this was an oracle for me. And if so, what could it have meant? Nothing came to me until yesterday when I remembered what I had been talking to my friend or my cousin about on the phone. We were talking about, without going into a lot of detail, we've had a bit of a challenging summer with our business, et cetera, and, you know, felt as if we were hitting a wall. As if we were hitting a wall, but at that moment that bird came into the window, I was saying to my cousin, but, you know, just because it seems like we're hitting a wall doesn't mean that we can't get back up and keep going. And that has been our motto for 5 years. And do you know what dawned on me? Oh my gosh, that's what that meant. That bird flew off despite hitting a window.
Wow.
Isn't that something? Do you know that I got...
Beautiful. Oh, I love that. That is so beautiful.
And
it's a manifestation of what you knew.
Exactly. And so I guess my point is that oracles don't necessarily have to be ominous. They don't necessarily have to be urgent in warning you about something or advising you about something, but really maybe just a wink and a nod saying, you're absolutely right, I'm with you.
I think you're 100% right. I don't think that oracles are ominous at all. I think that oracles are really are like protectors. I believe that personal oracles have our back. I believe that, and that's what was going on with you. The universe said, hey, I'll just show you, you know, you're right on, you know, about, you know, knowing that you felt like you were hitting a wall, but that you would go on. I think that they're positive. So even the things that look like they're negative, I think that they're positive affirmations of you will make it through this, you know, that kind of thing. I love that story.
Yeah, and it kind of reminds me in terms of you making it through in your ordeal. I'm so glad to hear that things are better for you after hearing of your diagnosis. So,
it was minuscule. I mean,
yeah.
You know, but look at health. Anybody that is listening that has health issues, I have a really dear friend right now that is going through some health issues. And I think that so often a health issue is an opening to something else. And the opening to something else doesn't need to be death. It can be opening to whatever that need is in your life to move in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
So I think when we're, you know, when we try to look at things and go, what's going on here? Louise, hey, I wasn't going to go in this direction. I don't mention her in the book, but Heal Your Body. Do you know that book?
Yes, You Can Heal Your Life.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Heal your body. If you've got something going on, look and see what's going on. There's a message. There's just messages behind everything.
Behind everything.
It's so cool.
It is very cool. And again, going back to, I think, what you said earlier in our talk, that the personal aspect, the fact that the universe is so intelligent, it gives me chills when I think about how much the universe knows each of us so intimately that it will send things that only we would be able to understand. And I think of the dreamscape. I have a very vivid dream life, and, you know, I will have the darndest dreams or images that will be sent to me in dreams that you know that the universe must know you so well. Maybe it's the higher self. I think the higher self is the universe in a way, but it's just absolutely brilliant. The universe is brilliant.
Well, it is, and we are a part. You know, when you, have you read Greg Braden? Here's another
of course.
One, a lot of books. Say, do you know Greg Braden?
I do. I don't know him personally, but
For someone that really, you know, you look at, well, how does this all happen? The Divine Matrix is a book that
love it
from a very scientific background. Jump into things like that. Jump into the Divine Matrix, the holographic universe.
The audience knows that my all-time favorite author in the world is Michael Talbot, and I quote holographic universe probably way too much.
I just pulled me right into that, didn't you? So I love that. I mean, there are people out there that can help us if we, if we like that scientific grounding.
Yes.
And while I do ground it in scientific research, you know, the whole formula for personal oracles, there are people that can expand that if you need to go into that larger picture. So I love it that you're a fan of Michael Talbot.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I have a dear friend who was a dear friend of his named Rosemary Ellen Guiley. And as a matter of fact, she's written dozens of books, but one of her latest books, Soul Journeys, which I would recommend to the audience as well, goes into quite a great deal of depth about Michael Talbot's philosophy around some of the things that we're talking about. Just he was an amazing individual, gone way too soon, of course.
Yeah.
But yeah, the holographic universe is chock full. It can be a little daunting for some. But I agree with you. I think for people that are looking for some scientific justification along with the anecdotes, because he tells lots of stories in the book, this is a beautiful blend of those two things. Absolutely.
Well, I do too. And I think for some of us like me, like I have a certain amount of scientific area that I'm very, very comfortable with. And I go to that point and then I let it go. I mean, if I, you know, I read about quantum physics, I don't understand it well enough to explain it to the audience, but that's
right.
What I do when I go into things like that. I'll go to, the universe will give you these books and you go to them and you find them and you'll get what you need out of them. And the idea of having to read it cover to cover, I think is nothing that is necessary at all. You read what you get, what you need from a book.
Right. And now with the advent, of course, of the internet and all of the how information is traveling so quickly, of course, there's a lot to sift through. But we have so many pieces of information to try and put the puzzle pieces for ourselves, whether they're stories or science or everything in between. It's fantastic. Well, speaking of stories, I want you to tell a few more. Will you please share with the audience? I love the story. I think we all share the fact that we're writers in common. The novelist Jackie. And the story of the Rinaldos, do you recall that story?
That story was contributed to me, and if that is one of your favorites, I know it, but I'm not going to know it as well as you do.
Oh.
Do you remember, do you have that right by you?
I don't have it right by me, but let's see if I can recall it. And again, it caught my attention because I'm a writer, happened to be
exactly.
In the midst of finishing up a book so I could relate to it.
And the synchronicities, the story that she's going to explain because she just read it, and it's about synchronicities when you need them.
It's about synchronicities, and it has to
yes.
do with the fact that I think she was putting the finishing touches on her novel, and she was looking for some information about a soccer player with the name Ronaldo,
yes.
but she couldn't recall if he was, to her recollection, there were several Ronaldo soccer players, and she knew she could Google it and get the facts straight, but she said, let me just take a break for a little bit. So she goes to get a cup of coffee, and there's a Wall Street Journal paper sitting by her coffee maker. And so she gets the coffee, and she says, rather than go right back to my computer and Google all this, let me just sit and have a cup of coffee and take a break. Well, she's perusing the Wall Street Journal as she's taking her coffee, and all of a sudden she sees a story with a headline, Know Your Rinaldos. And it lists the three different Ronaldos. All three of them are soccer players, but also had the described the Brazilian soccer player that she wanted to put in the book.
And don't you love that? I mean, and you know, I love that story because, you know, when you're on the right path, not to say we don't have to work really, really hard, but sometimes when you're on the right path, there it is. The universe just goes, here you go. We've got a gift for you.
I love it. I love it. I get chills like I said before we started our interview today. I told you this is one of my favorite subjects on the planet because it's so how refreshing it is to know that we do not need to buy answers, that we do not need to rely on the traditional sources that we thought was all we had for the gifts. Those gifts are implicit. They're in. Embedded in this world and in this universe, physical and non-physical, just for us. It's the neatest thing in the world.
I would love to do a flip side. Well, because I love the Ronaldo story, and I love it when we get things like that, and the universe just goes, here, you don't have to go through that. But I also want to tell you that there were times, I've got another book that I've been working on, and there were times that I was looking for information in that book, and as I would look for it and I wouldn't be able to find it, I would find something else that needed to be in that book. And so it's so fascinating to me, because when it's made more difficult for you, it almost seems like, it isn't almost, it seems like it's being more difficult because there are treasures that you are uncovering as you go. So it's like there's not one, it's, I love it, it's life is so unexpected. Sometimes the universe makes it very easy for us, and sometimes it's like, slow down a little bit, you're going to find things over here you didn't even know you needed.
That's right. Do you think that more people are experiencing these synchronicities now in our history? Do you think the veil might be lifting a little bit?
I do believe. I'm going to answer that two different ways. I believe we've always experienced them, but I do believe the veil is maybe, I wonder if, lifting or thinner. You know, I have this gut feeling that if we're lucky, we're going to get to live in, experience the world where the veil is thin enough that we are moving back and forth these dimensions. I want to share something that happened that's kind of an answer, or at least was brought up by what you just asked about, are we experiencing it more? The other night I was doing a book signing in Colorado, and one of the women in the front row, I'd been talking about my dog and the story I shared about him coming back. And she was sitting with her tears in her eyes, and you knew she'd lost a dog. Mm-hmm. And she ends up, after we're in the question and answer period, and she shares a story that about the bottom line of it is her dog, she had multiple dogs, but she was down to her last two dogs, and one of them passed, and when the other one was going to pass, her other dog who had died came back. She saw the dog in physical form come back and help the other dog pass.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness.
Now look at how that hit every one of us. It hit us differently. Oh my gosh. I mean, you know, to see a physical form of your animal that had passed, that's what, you know, when you said, do I think the veil is lifting? Yes.
Yeah.
Look what this person in the audience shared with me. Every time these things happen, I think, oh my gosh, come on, people, talk. What else is going on? You know, we're sharing. We've got this good stuff going on that we need to share with each other and pull each other through the veil a little more, you know?
So important. So important. So let me ask you this. Do you, as you're giving talks and are hearing from more people, perhaps through your website, do you think that those numbers are rising? Do you think that there's an increased interest in these subject matters?
Totally. Well, I'll tell you what, I am so surprised, because if you look at my book, and the cover is all hearts, and you know, it's really a beautiful cover, and it's getting a wonderful response. But I've got some very intense images in it.
You do. And,
you know, authors are funny, and you know, you have your own idea. And Tarcher Penguin is a dream publisher. Everybody at that publishing house that I've come in contact with has been beyond my wildest helpful dream. But when we came to the cover, my editor had an idea, and that was going to be it. She was so right. But as we were going through it, I'm going, but I want it to appeal to men. I really, you know, and she's going, but it's, who do you think your audience is going to be? And I said, well, probably women. I am getting more emails from men on from mm-hmm. you. If you get on my website, can I give the address?
Absolutely, and we're going to have it linked up.
Okay, it's www.personaloracles.com. Anyway, you get on there, there's a place for submissions. I am getting just the things off the top of my head. I've got a submission from a man who is an investor in land about numerology and how it plays into his investments. And like, I think he sent me three. I've gotten another one from a man who is really learning. He and his wife and his son are learning. They're getting messages in clouds. And as in about his third email, he was like, we don't know for sure what we have, but we know that we're tuning into another frequency, and we're all excited about it. And I can't tell you who, but he works for a very recognized, he's in a high position at a very recognizable company. And so when people send these things in to me, it's, I say anonymous, or do you want me to use your name?
Right, exactly. Exactly.
And so, you know, he didn't. But I'm getting all this response from men. I was also in Denver at the Tattered Cover. There was a man that came all by himself. He looked like an executive with a large company, sat in the very front row, sat in the seat, and said, it was kind of kidding, Lily was early, and he said, if I sit right here, does that mean I get to be first to get my...
Well, that answers the question. That answers the question. That is so encouraging.
It's been encouraging.
We've come a long way. We have come a long way, and I think that's really what this shift is part and parcel of, is people realizing there's an urgency to really first start talking about the things that I think we've all experienced since the dawn of mankind, but I think people are having a sense of it's time to bring it out in the open and it's time to incorporate it. That's a wonderful thing. You know, you mentioned numerology, and I'm not going to let this slip. You mentioned numerology in your book, and I have a fascination with numbers. I've never been a numerology, you know, aficionado by any stretch, but
right.
I want your take on the number 11. And I know you know what I'm talking about, and I think you even mentioned it in the book. There has been a phenomenon going on, gosh, maybe 10, 15 years now, where there have been so many people that are seeing 11, 11 on the clock, including myself and my husband. And I won't go into the story. There is a story associated with how this all started for us. But
well, you could go in. That might make people, you might consider that. I mean, if you don't have time.
It's a big story. It's a long story, something I'll probably go into a little bit later. But it was sort of we had reached sort of a very critical part in our lives. We were renovating our home at the time. This is about 8 years ago. And going through some emotional challenges, in part because of the renovation. But there were some other things that had happened. I believe I had some semblance of a spiritual breakthrough that I'm not going to elaborate on right now. But shortly thereafter, I began to see 11 on the clock. Now, for me, it was not necessarily 11-11. It could be 1-11, 2-11, 3-11, 10-11, 11-11 included. To the point where I, you know, this is 8 years ago, and the internet has become even bigger since then. So I had searched, okay, let's see if I'm the only one seeing this. My husband admitted to me when I told him that he had been seeing it. So I said, this must be, there's something going on here. I couldn't find that much. I found a few obscure references, but 8 years hence, 8 years later, if you go on the internet now and you search C11 on the clock, you will come up with millions of results. There's something going on. There's some significance to this number for this time. Is this an oracle? What's happening here, Anne?
Well, I do believe that there are hidden, personal oracles are hidden messages, and so there is a personal oracle. And from what I understand from the 11-11, which I am also getting in so many different ways, too, we could do a whole show on 11s, but 11 appears to me to, and of course, if you, you know, go into it, seek it out, appears to be a form of encouragement.
Mm-hmm.
11 seems to me to be an encouraging number. When you are in a tough time, that is coming to so many people saying, you know, things are going to be okay, you are going to make your way through it. Yes, we see you.
Interesting. Well, you know, you said at the beginning, 11 to me means this. You know, we're talking about personal oracles, but this is one of the questions I wanted to ask you, Anne, about universal oracles, meaning, you know, we know about the wonderful work of psychologist Carl Jung and his popularization of archetypes. Archetypes being symbols that have sort of a ubiquitous message for everyone, that, or at least a tendency to have a singular meaning. When I think of the phenomenon, forgive me, audience, my phone is beeping right now, and I'm not going to answer that.
Good for you.
Somebody's being, of course I'm not going to answer it. I wanted to shut it off, but I forgot to turn off call waiting, so forgive me. But getting back to our conversation, 11-11, because it's being seen by so many people right now, it seems that this is representing some sort of an archetype versus a personal message. And yet there's so many different definitions, interpretations of what these 11s mean. It's just a fascinating conundrum to me. I
totally agree. And I think that, you know, we're asking about the whole universality of it. And I think that when it comes to a universal symbol, Mm-hmm. And incorporating that into a personal oracle, I think we look at the universal symbol and consider it and then see if that actually fits with what our gut says. You know, like if you are having a dream and you read it, you have a dream journal, and not a dream, a dream dictionary, you open up your dream dictionary and it tells you that if you see a certain sign, it means this, and you go, that's not what... Trust yourself on that. Trust mm-hmm. yourself on that. So if an archetype of something doesn't quite seem like it's giving you the message, seeing something a little bit different to you. But I do think that, you know, signs, symbols, those are the way the universe speaks to us. But it'll speak to us personally. And I think, generally speaking, we will only get in trouble if we're here, if we're trying to rely on somebody else's interpretation.
That's right. That's absolutely right. And I think that's why your book and emphasizing the subjective or intimate quality of oracles is so important, because I think there's this temptation for people to want to, you know, when they do recognize something, oh, I've got to look it up in an encyclopedia of some sort. I mean, we talk about using crystals, of which I'm an avid collector of crystals.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
The significance of an amethyst means this, and clear quartz means that. And I've always been an advocate of not using crystals prescriptively, because it can mean something totally different for you than it might mean for me. So that's what makes, I think, your book so incredibly spectacular, is to remind people that, you know, trust the universe. The universe knows you. It's really, really something. You know, I want to stay on numbers for a second, but I want to segue. You know, we talk about 11, and of course, when people think of 11, so often the 9/11 thing comes up,
right.
The event that will forever be ingrained in our minds. But, you know, something else interesting, I don't know if you recall, and when 9/11 occurred and we were seeing these images over and over again about the billowing smoke from the towers after they collapsed. Do you recall that, and this was viral on the internet, a picture that was taken of in the smoke from the World Trade Center, I don't remember which tower it was, appeared to be a very distinct face. An evil face.
I can't believe you're bringing this up, because I have not seen that again, and I did see it, you know, when it was going on, and it is it's embedded in my memory, and it was the most evil face that I've ever seen in my life. I actually would kind of like to, just because I thought it was so appropriate, it was a mirror of what was going on. You know, the universe mirrors things back to us. You know, the universe, my take on that, and again, this is just my take on it, but my take on it is the universe was mirroring back the evil that was going on, and it showed itself to us in that cloud.
Isn't that interesting? A mirror.
Oh. It's a mirror. Oh, yes. And I break it down in the books. Conduits, mirrors.
I was going to ask you to talk about that. Yes.
Signs and symbols and invisible moving sidewalks. So, you know, when something happens, sometimes it really helps us to have the formulas, have the categories. How does this fit? Is this just not just all magic? It's not just all happenstance. You know, wait, we're going to... So I've defined these different categories so that you can look at them and go, okay, that's how... Okay, now wait, I've made it fit over there. I will tell you that don't be rigid in any of this. They will fit in different categories. Whatever's going on with you may fit in another category as well. You know, like, let's just go back to that evil, horrible face that was in that cloud. That was a mirror. That also was a symbol. You know, that was a symbol of evil. But so don't get hung up. If you start to put things in categories, flow with where your intuition is telling you to put, you know, where does it fit for me? Is this a conduit? A conduit would be a cloud. You know, there's in the book, there's my father. I connect with my father so often from the other side in cloud form, and Deer Track, a Native American that is still working with me from the other side. You know, other people, smells are conduits. So, you know, you'll find your own conduits. You'll you'll recognize your own mirrors, because we're all so unique. And you mentioned, I want to see if I can try to articulate, you said something a while ago about the universe knows us so well. And I think it even says, and I'm not very good on the Bible, but I remember as a child, I think it was like all your hairs on your head are numbered. And I remember going, what? You know, that's the intimacy that we're talking about, which is, you know, our minds can comprehend. We've limited ourselves in this three-dimensional box, and you know, try to get the pull ourselves out a little bit from this three-dimensional box and know that the universe does is doing just what you said.
Absolutely, absolutely, really amazing. And I'm going to apologize again because somebody really apparently wants to get a hold of us. I don't know if that's an oracle that the beeping, the call waiting is really off the hook here. So forgive audience for that once again. But I think we're getting, fortunately, you weren't cut off at all, Anne. And we are winding down.
I didn't hear, whatever was going on, it did not.
Well, they'll be able to hear it. You can't hear it, but hopefully it
won't. And anyway, that's the world we live in.
That's the world we live in. And there'll probably be something significant that we'll find out, whoever was calling here.
Oh, that's really funny. Can you hear what's going on right now? Listen for one moment. My phone just beeped. Well, that's weird. My phone just beeped. Hear it?
Yes.
Now my phone is beeping.
Oh, boy.
That is really, really interesting. That I have no clue what's going on.
If it happens again, then we're going to have to do a part two and really try to figure out what's going on.
We'll turn our phones off.
Isn't that something? Wow.
Yes. Well, let me just tell you, I did an interview this morning. Since this is going on, I have no clue. I did an interview this morning on Irish News Talk Radio out of Ireland. We've been trying to set this up forever. You know, there's 7 hours later.
That's right.
We were less than 5 minutes into the interview, we got cut off.
Wow.
There was a power surge here in New Mexico, and it was fast. It just went off and back on again. It caught, remember the Rhonda, the hummingbird story?
Yes.
When I quit, when it cut it off, Rhonda had just turned around and was running for home. So there's something, let's just watch today. There's something interesting going on.
Perhaps.
See if you're listening to this, if something's going on at your house too.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm always sort of looking for, not looking for, but again, because I think I'm kind of sensitive to little nuances that maybe, that stand out to me. I will, consider the fact that maybe something is going to happen, not necessarily a bad thing, but something that will stand out maybe in the news or, and I do get messages every once in a while, not audibly, but telepathically.
Right.
I remember, and I'm trying to think of the story. I was in my bathroom, essentially looking in the mirror and just kind of doing what I normally do, putting makeup on. And all of a sudden I heard in my ear, breaking news.
Wow.
And I said, breaking news, okay, something breaking is probably going to present itself to us. And if I'm not mistaken, it was a few days before the Boston Marathon bombing here in Boston. So again, these oracles or messages or signs can come through myriad of ways, whether it's hearing a voice, seeing something that someone might say who has absolutely nothing to do. They're just the messenger, a license plate, a book. It's infinite. It's really incredible. Can I share one more story? This is just so cool. I want to absolutely share this, and then I'm going to stop with my stories. We're going to wind down, and maybe you can tell us a little bit more about your book and where to get it. Let me tell you this one, Anne. This is a great one.
I
have a little area in my home that I consider to be sort of a sacred area that I go for a little bit of a ritual, meditation, a short meditation. I do longer sessions, but this is a place where I go just to be silent for a moment and connect with spirit. And on this particular occasion, as anybody who meditates knows, sometimes it can be very difficult to stop the mind chatter, needless to say, and just focus on whatever it is you've chosen to focus on. And on this particular day, I had been overwhelmed with something that I was kind of anxious about, maybe even a little fearful about. And it really, here we go with the beep again. Unbelievable. Yeah. I'm going to continue. Clearly, this was interrupting the flow of my meditation because I was preoccupied. And when I finished the meditation, all of a sudden, I walk over to the other side of the room and I notice a fortune cookie. My husband loves to collect fortunes from fortune cookies, and it was inexplicably lying on the floor. I don't know how it got there. I picked it up, and guess what it said? The fortune read, "Nothing in life is to be feared. It is only to be understood."
Oh, that's an ultimate truth, I think.
Would that be an oracle for you?
That's a personal oracle for you. In fact, I love it that you say that, because you know what? That was the journey that I went on that opened all this up. Nothing is to be feared. You are connected. You are connected. You're protected. And you were talking about how you have something happen and it's, you know, something that doesn't really, the Boston Marathon. That's when the universe is illuminating for you that interconnection. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like when these little things happen, you look at it and you go, oh, it's like getting to see the string that connects us all get lighted right there and then move someplace else. I don't know if that was a clear image that I was giving off, but when the universe illuminates itself to us, we get to see, oh, there's a connection. Look, here's another connection. Look, all these interconnections that are supporting us and speaking to us when we need them, and our trick is to listen and to turn down that monkey mind chatter.
That's right. That's right. And that can take a little bit of training, but I think it's well worth the effort, because I think if we do, and we will find our reality, our world, our journey so much bigger, so much more exciting, that the exploration is just...
Yeah, I mean, we're shortcutting ourselves so much, because this is the, I mean, I'm not denying, I don't want to come off as just everything is sweet and honey. I mean, we've talked about 9/11, we've talked about the Boston Marathon, but within all of this horror, there is as much beauty and more. And within all of this, we are protected and loved. And when we leave this realm, there are other. We're only leaving this realm. We're moving to other amazing realms. So
absolutely.
I think that just as you said, opening up, opening the box, stepping out where it feels safe, then step out a little further, then you know, and talk to each other and see where that footing is. Feel good for you to go.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Anne Bollinger McQuaid, what a conversation. I'm not surprised. I knew that we were going to hit it off incredibly. This is the first time that we've talked. We could go on for another hour, but unfortunately our time has come to a close. Give us your website again, clearly, so everybody can visit.
Okay, just remember what we're talking about today, personal oracles. So it's www.personaloracles.com. You can go there. I've got a cloud. We're talking about clouds. Go to the What Do You See section. Click on Play in the Clouds. You can draw around them. You can see.
Love it.
You know, take them as deep as you want to go. And my book is available on there. It's available through a lot of different places that you can order. It's also available for your mobile devices.
Oh,
so
fantastic.
Check it out.
Absolutely wonderful. Everyday oracles, decoding the divine messages that are all around us. And they are all around us. And I think from the two of us telling stories today, I don't think there's anyone that would doubt that. So I encourage you, everyone, to go out, see those oracles, and embrace it. And thank the universe. It's a wonderful universe. And thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Oh, it has been my honor. Thank you so much.
Oracles are signs that can come in virtually any form, and they are designed for our personal growth. Anne says, the universe is here to support us. If only we can attune ourselves to its symbolism, our lives will be so much more fulfilling. To learn more about the work of Anne Bollinger McQuaid, you can visit her website listed below. If you like this interview, you may also enjoy my interview with intuition expert Penny Pierce, which you can find in our show archives. Thank you for listening to Conscious Inquiry. Until next time, I'm Alexis Brooks.